All right. This is about how to train people to train people who train people. And maybe we could move up just a tad. Can everybody, can you see all the way back there in the hallway? Can you see? Okay. Because one of the main things that you do in the Pandavasena is you engage people in service, right? How many people here have taken a leadership role to train and engage other people in service? That's all. Fine. How many of you have helped other people do some service? Say, okay, let's organize something. You've been in charge of a team or a group. How many people? Okay, up, so I can see you. Okay, so that's at least some. All right, so all of you who haven't been in that position, the idea is that you will be. That everybody should train somebody. So we think this is, of course, the principle of the parampara. Like Srila Prabhupada came to America. He came to New York. He got a few people, maybe 15, 20 people. Out of them, one of them went to California, to San Francisco. He gathered together about 50 people. And then Prabhupada trained those people, and those people all went out and trained other people. Maybe not all, but most. Some people just went and started their own temple. Sometimes one person went and started a temple. Sometimes two or three people went and started a temple. And then they trained people who also went out and trained people. And so we went from, you know, 10, 20 people in New York to this. All over the world, you know. You're about, how many people come to the manor for Janmashtami? 60,000. Hmm? So somewhere between 50,000 and 150,000 people, something like that. Okay. So did Srila Prabhupada do all of that personally? No. Most of it was done through people he trained, who trained people, who trained people, who trained people. Okay? So this is a little bit about how to do this. So you may think, well, I'm just one person, what can I do? But let's say that you train one person. And let's say that person trains two people. And let's say those two people train, each of them train three people. And could one of those persons end up doing something incredible? Right? So that's the idea. I don't have a printout for this in front of me, so I may have to backtrack occasionally. Okay, because this was a last-minute thing to do this. So, first of all, we're going to look at the principles of how to equip someone. And the first thing is that the reason we're teaching people how to do things is that we want the people that we teach to become teachers. Okay? The idea is not that we keep ourselves in a position of leader and trainer, and we keep other people as subordinates. But we help to train everybody to help others. And one of this is, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, everybody should become guru. Guru doesn't just mean someone who gives initiation. Anyone who helps people to come to Krishna consciousness. Some people were asking me today, you know, what... Do you have to be a man or a woman or a sannyasi or this or that? No, everybody can become guru. There's not some restriction. You know, only Indians or only sannyasis or only people over, you know, 10. Prahlada Maharaj could be a guru at 5. Only humans. Hanuman is a guru. He's a monkey. Everybody can become guru. All of us. That means everybody here. You say, well, I'm not qualified. In whatever way you're qualified. And the main people we're trying to teach is devotees. We want to teach people who are interested in Krishna to go and train others. And what are our results? The reason we're training people is we want everyone to become a saint. We want everybody to fall in love with Krishna. We're not just trying to train people to become expert at cleaning bathrooms. All right? Or vacuuming pandal tents. We want everybody to fall in love with Krishna. We want to train everybody in preaching, because that is the main way to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And we can see everything we're doing as preaching. Because it is. If you go to a temple and the bathrooms are smelly and dirty, are you going to be as inclined to take up Krishna consciousness? So even cleaning the toilets is a kind of preaching. And to make Prabhupada and Krishna happy. They are so happy when they see so many people engaged in the service of the Lord. Now, this is very important. Often we think that what everything is about is what I'm doing. What I tell you, what I instruct you, but our success is by what the people we're helping do. So if I'm training you how to cut the vegetables in the kitchen, my success is how well you cut those vegetables, not how well I've instructed you. I can't say, well, I taught you how to cut the veggies. Well, now that's not my problem anymore, you know, I'm finished. But it's how well you're doing. And how well are the people we're working with? Are they chanting Hare Krishna? Are they offering their food? Are they reading Prabhupada's books? What are the people that we're helping doing? It changes our whole focus from ourselves to others. Okay, so this is not just, you know, we get together, we have a pep talk, and we tell people, okay, let's do this. But what are you doing when you walk out the door? What are you doing after you walk out of the condo? What are you doing after your team leader says, okay, we're going to take care of this today? That's the main emphasis. What are people actually doing? And it's not just information. All right, there's so many incarnations of Krishna, and this is the prayer you're supposed to say, and this is what it means, but are you falling in love with Krishna and serving Krishna? That should be the point. You should be looking, am I falling in love with Krishna? Are the people that I'm helping falling in love with Krishna? And it's not just, okay, I'm going to teach you about Krishna, but how are you all sharing Krishna with each other? So as you're helping other people, you should see, are those people sharing Krishna with others? Does it go beyond just me helping them? Ah, right? Not just how many people are getting around and listening, but how many people are putting that into action. That means whenever you're helping people, where is your focus? On yourself or on them? Yes. Who's that little boy? Oh, not theory. We're interested in what can we practically do. How do I chant Hare Krishna? How do I remember Krishna when I'm cutting the veggies? How do I remember Krishna when I'm cleaning the upstairs that hasn't been cleaned in 10 years? Right? You follow? We should be helping each other to do this. We're not just concerned, okay, have I told people what they're supposed to do? Now it's their problem. But how can I make Krishna consciousness attractive? In all of our dealings with each other, how can I show how attractive Krishna really is? Okay, and these are the basic sort of keys. First of all, we think, okay, it's my responsibility to make sure that people really know what to do and how to do it and are enlivened to do it. Not that I just get everybody together and just, this is what you do, now it's your problem. Okay? Take care of this, take care of this, take care of this. All right, go do it. You with me, understand? So I should think it's my responsibility to make sure that you know how to do it, that you're alive in doing it, that you want to do it. And we're going to go through how to do this, how to be a coach or a facilitator. Now again, how do you tell if you're any good by what people are doing? Does that make sense? Some of you mentioned something that you've taught somebody else here since we've been here these few days. Or helped somebody do something. Someone who raised their hand that they were helping direct other people. What have you taught? It's a bad time of day after lunch in the heat. It's a really bad time of day. Yes?
I was teaching my
The principles behind deity worship. So how could you evaluate that? How could you tell whether or not you've done a good job?
I And it's funny, they didn't resort to something that I often do send it to them.
Okay, so you could tell by the next time they were doing it, were they using those principles? Someone else here who's been helping others or training others or teaching others, what's something that you've taught here? Yes?
Teaching, helping some devotees to put on Dhoti and Tilak.
Helping them to put on Dhoti and Tilak. How could you tell whether or not you were a good teacher?
By their appearance. When they did it themselves.
By what they looked like when they did it themselves, right? So what grade did you give yourself? A 6 out of 10? Okay. Okay, who else did some teaching or helping or guiding so far? What did you work with? Somebody else? A whole bunch of you raised your hands. Come on, something that you've done. So somebody who helped guide somebody, what have you done? Well, we have like 20 people raise their hand before. Yes.
Encourage them.
Encourage them specifically in what?
Oh, to learn and to pray for God.
Yeah. Something specific. You just encourage them to sleep? What? What specifically? Can you tell me some specific way in which you've tried to encourage others?
Encourage you to make garlands.
Did you make them?
I'm going to.
You're going to. Okay. Somebody else has also helped or guided someone. Yes, what have you done?
Help guide Don.
Excuse me?
Help guide Don.
Help the guys, taught them the right way to dance? To dance. I love the British accent. Help them to dance. Someday maybe I'll speak as nicely as all of you, I don't know. Just encourage them to dance or show them how to dance? I don't know the way I talk. Encourage them to dance in general or show them how to dance?
I just thought and said you should do this too.
Okay, alright. And then what happened? What did they do?
Next time I was too tired, I was sitting on the floor, but they were still dancing.
Okay, alright. Alright, next time you were sitting on the floor, but they were still dancing. Okay, thank you. Somebody else? Yes?
Being Krishna consciousness, being at university.
Oh, how to be Krishna conscious at university.
How to be practical.
Were you giving like some specific things?
Just from my own experience.
Okay. And so how could you evaluate that? Obviously you can't do that on this trip, but how could you evaluate that?
By keeping in touch with them.
Okay. Finding out if they put those things into action, if they work for them. Very good. Somebody else? Yes?
Show someone how to chant around.
You showed somebody how to chant around, all right? And how would you evaluate that?
Because they've been doing it one round for the last few days.
So they told you they were doing one round the last few days. Did you look at anything other than whether or not they said, I did a round?
I saw them once, actually. They started the round. I came back 3 minutes later. They were lying down.
Lying down. Okay. So what grade would you give yourself there?
Five.
A 5 out of 10, okay. Somebody else? Yes? Oh, so you taught them how to show Krishna in sign language. Oh, very nice. And so how would you evaluate that instruction?
When they go back to her, they say Hare Krishna.
Oh, very, when they'll say Hare Krishna properly to your deaf friends. Very nice. Okay. Okay, so one way you can tell is the person you've taught, do they practice it and do they teach others? And two things we're looking at, what the person does and what the person, what do you think, is. What they do and what they are. So we're not interested just in having people make garlands, or just in having people put on dhotis, or, you know, we're interested in having people become what? In love with Krishna. We want them to change their character. And mostly we should put our attention to people who are the most enthusiastic. Remember I was talking about this the other day, that Jamal Krishna Maharaj would go and say, who liked the music? Who liked the food? And preach to those people? So put the bulk of your energy into the people who are the most enthusiastic. Why? Yeah, you know they have the desire.
You can use your own energy more effectively.
Yes, you use your own energy more effectively, yes.
It can correctly bear enthusiasm more than
correctly, they'll spread it to others.
If you do some what?
Teach them correctly, they'll use that enthusiasm and teach more people.
Very nice. If you teach them correctly, they'll go out and teach more people. If you teach one person who's going to teach 10,000 people, that's more effective than I teach one person who never teaches anybody. Right? So people who are willing to spread it. But also, it's a fact, we have limited energy. We're not able to give everything to everybody. Krishna can do that, but we can't. So we have to choose where to give our energy. And if we spend all of our energy on someone who's not that committed and not that interested and not that willing to follow through, then we won't have anything left for the people who really need it. Okay, now this is really important. If I'm going to teach somebody something, I have to have facts. I have to teach you a skill. You know, I have to know what is japa, the skill of chanting japa, and then I'm looking for long-term commitment. This is on the part of the teacher. So why do we equip people? So they can become equippers themselves. We want to train people so they can train others. We want to train people so they can train others. So this is an open question. Why do you think when most people teach, they're mostly teaching information instead of behavior and character? It's a question for all of you. Yes?
Because content is more objective. It can be measured.
Okay, it can be more easily measured objectively, right?
Character and conduct are more subjective.
Yes, it's a little bit more difficult to measure character and conduct, especially character. The easiest thing to measure is whether or not you've remembered facts, and the next thing is whether or not you have a skill, and the hardest thing to measure is character. Any other reasons why you think we tend to just focus on content, just information? Yeah.
Because everyone's individual, so that when they teach themselves, they can put their own personality and character into how they teach.
So you see that as a good thing, that if we just teach the content, but if they don't know how to do it that at all, that may be hard. But we'll get to that, because that's a very important point, in fact, that we want people to apply things individually. Yeah.
I don't know if it's right, but is it like our laziness, because content is uniform for everyone, whereas
well, that's what he was also saying too, because people are going to apply things individually, maybe we should just teach content. But although there's that's a very important part of the argument, that we don't want to necessarily teach people to do things just the way that we're doing them. If you only teach content, what do you think happens?
Can you give an example of content character?
After a big meal, all the blood is in the stomach and none of it is in the brain. We teach content, what happens? You want an example?
Yes.
Okay. So let's say that we want to train people how to help in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So I sit here and I give a talk about how to help in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Okay. If I'm teaching conduct, then I'm going to do it a little, I'm going to take it a step further, aren't I? And if I'm going to teach character, then I'm going to take it a step further.
How would you teach character?
How would I teach character? We'll get to that. Any other thoughts on this? Some people have their hand raised. Why do you think we just teach content? Yes?
Content is a very good thing to go and check in with. So, for example, if you've taught me something about
content, you can check it. It's verifiable.
Yeah.
Whereas the other is a little bit more difficult to verify. Okay.
Yeah.
It's easier to teach content because we might be saying something, but we don't have a character or the even conduct, but we're actually preaching it.
Ah, so you can easily preach content even if you don't follow it. And so it's easier to be a hypocrite if you just teach content. I think in general it's easier to just teach content. And then we just teach content, and then if the people we're teaching don't follow through, who do we blame? Them. Alright, there's another question. What do you think would happen if instead of giving information, we really focus on equipping people to have the proper conduct and character? What do you think would change?
So can you ask that question again?
It's right up there. Yes.
Maybe you know how to deliver, but not what.
Well, instead of simply giving information, in other words, in addition to, so maybe I should reword that. But if the focus was on equipping, if the focus was on conduct and character, rather than the focus on content, not that there's no content, obviously you can't put something into action without the content, but if the focus was changed, what do you think might happen? Yeah?
They'd be able to apply it to different times, places, and circumstances.
Okay, depending on how it was taught. If it was taught properly, yes, they could apply it to different time, place, and circumstance. Okay? Yeah?
Learning would be much faster.
Learning would be much faster. That would be much something else too. Someone who hasn't said something. Yes?
The way the student learns will depend on the character and conduct of the teacher, so every student mm-hmm. will be different in different classes.
So every student would?
Every student will differ, or every person is learning.
Okay, so you wouldn't have standardized instruction. It would become non-standardized, which is good and bad, because if it's non-standardized, it's more individual. But it would be very dependent on the teacher, yes. Which means the teacher has to be of a higher caliber, which goes back to what you were saying, that it can be easier because you can be a, you know, hypocrite or useless, and still you can appear to be teaching. Okay, now how do you equip? This is the main thing I want you guys to come away from with this, okay? This is like the thing that I'm going to be testing you on. Now, I'll test you on it again tomorrow when you have some brain to your blood in your brain. I don't have any blood in my brain. So, okay, first step is instruct. So that is giving information. This is why you wear a dhoti. This is how you just telling them. This is why you chant japa. This is how you chant japa. Then illustrate, show. Then involve. Then improve. And then inspire. Let's read through these together. Instruct, illustrate, involve, improve, inspire. Again, instruct, illustrate, involve, improve, desire. Now let's see how this translates really, really simply. Okay. Instruct means I tell you. Illustrate is you watch me. Involve is we do it together. Improve is I watch you. Inspire is keep it up. I move back. Mentor you from a distance. Let's say this three times. I tell you. You watch me. We do it together. I watch you. Keep it up. What was that again?
I tell you. You watch me. We do it together. I watch you. Keep it up.
Again?
I tell you. You watch me. We do it together. I watch you. Keep it up.
Again?
I watch you, you watch me, we do it together, I watch you, you watch me.
Again.
I tell you, you watch me, we do it together, I watch you, keep it up.
Again with it on the screen.
I tell you, you watch me, we do it together, I watch you, keep it up.
And one more time.
I tell you, you watch me, we do it together, I watch you, keep it up.
Alright, give me some situation where you want somebody to do something.
Clean the temple.
Clean the temple. Okay, so what would be the first thing? What's the instruct? I tell you. What do I tell you? Tell you where the buckets are. Instruct. I'm giving you instructions. So I tell you as I give you instructions. Tell you where the buckets are. What else would I tell you?
Why
we clean the temple room? Good. What else?
When?
When to clean the temple room? What else? Breakfast? What? Benefits. Thank you. Yes. What else?
How
to clean?
Do's and don'ts.
The do's and don'ts. Yes. All right. That's instruct. Then what do? Then I do the you watch me face. Now what do I do in there? I'm showing you how to do it. So you take this thing and here, like you do it like this. And then the way you use this funny gizmo is you do it this way and it's just doing it this way. Okay? Then the next thing is what? We do it together. Then what are we doing? Do I, so now I walk away, right? What do I do? Not watching yet.
Give him another sponge.
Huh?
Give him another sponge and you start doing
it. Okay, right, give him another sponge. So I've got my sponge, and you've got your sponge, and we're doing it together. Now while we're doing it together, you're watching me and I'm watching you both. So both happening. Okay, then what? I stop, and I watch. And maybe I go out for a little bit, and then I come back and I watch, and I go out for a little bit, and I come back and I watch. Then what? Then I just give him encouragement. Maybe I come back after half an hour and just look and say, wow, look at that under the radiator, not a speck. Wow, thank you very much. And then I can go back to the instructions and say, wow, talk about the benefits like you were saying. We're cleaning the temple, we're cleaning our heart. Okay? And then I'm going to hope that that person does what? Teaches somebody. Okay, now these are some details. You want them to become independent users of the skill. They should be able to chant japa without you hovering over them. Oh, are people allowed to make mistakes while they're learning?
Yes.
When we're learning, do we want somebody like hanging over us to make sure that we never make a mistake? Do you know anybody that does that to you? Do you like it? No. So, in every single religious and ethical system of the world, there's one rule that all those systems have in common. Does anyone know what it is? Every single religious and ethical system of the world, there's one rule that they all have in common. Even atheistic ethical systems. Does anybody know what that rule is? A basic principle of action, probably, but a basic principle of action.
Love the mistakes.
Love the
mistakes.
Love the mistakes? Learn from mistakes and love the mistakes. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Prabhupada said that an educated person knows three things, and that's one of them. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Does anyone here want somebody over them? You're doing it right. You're doing it right. Oh, you made a mistake. Stop that. There's a way to do it. Anybody like that? Anyone here want that? Okay. So when we're training others, should we let them make mistakes?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, unless the mistake's going to kill somebody or something. The mistake's going to burn down the temple, probably. Okay, now this is what we were talking about, which you mentioned, about individuality. So reproduce yourself by focusing on the student's skill rather than your style, not imitating. And I think this is one area in which when we're training, we really mess up. We think that the people we're training have to do it how?
Our way.
Why? Because we're wonderful, of course, and so the way that we do it must be the best way, right? Isn't that true? I mean, the way I do things has got to be the best way to do things because I do it that way and I'm the best, right? Yeah. Makes sense, right? You're all vastly inferior to me, and so the way that you do things must be vastly inferior to the way I do things, so I've got to train you to do it my way. Is that annoying when people are like that? And I think it's annoying, it's kind of stifling, isn't it? You would see people doing this with Prabhupada. You know, Prabhupada spoke in a Bengali accent. He was speaking 100-year-old British English in a Bengali accent, so instead of things like tortoise, he'd say tortoise. And some of his disciples would get up and say tortoise. Pretty funny. Each of us has our own style. You know, it's not that any of you should imitate my style or I should imitate Gauri Stubb. And Gauri gave this wonderful class this morning. I was very inspired. But not that I should think, okay, well, I've got to know as many shlokas as he does. That would take me a few lifetimes, I think. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're each individuals. It's good and healthy and right that within, of course, certain boundaries, obviously. You can't say, well, it's my style to take the buckets of water and throw them on the temple room walls. That's just my style, you know. So, obviously, but within those boundaries, let people do things in their own style. Let people find their own ways of doing things. The point is the other person's skill, not your style. And this is sometimes difficult because often we can't separate our style. We're thinking that the way we do it is just the way it's done. So we've got to look at how we do things and say, what part of how I do things it just can't be changed? And what part of how I do things is just my way of doing them? So when we're teaching others, we can teach people what the basic principle is. And not just teach them our style. I mean, even making garlands. I mean, this is going to sound really funny, but You know, who here has ever made garlands for the deities? Not very many guys, huh? Many years ago, actually, in Italy, in 88, I think, I was at an international Gurukul meeting. Shiva Ram Maharaj was there, and he was making garlands for his Gaurangas. And I remember he made a comment to me that he said, yeah, here there's women coming to the meetings, and the men are making garlands. Okay, so when you're making garlands, there's several ways to do it. You can have a little needle. You can put the flowers on the needle one at a time and pull them on the thread. Or you can have a long needle. You can put a whole bunch of flowers on the long needle and then bring them down all at once. Also, what you can do is you can start from the center of the garland and you can put all the flowers on this side and then you can put all the flowers on this side. And the benefit of that is that they're all like facing the same way on each side. Or you can start from this end and you put all the flowers like this, in which case the flowers on this side are going this way and the flowers on this side are going this way. Is there like a right way to do it? Yeah, it's preference. You know, and some people, I see some people stand up to make a garland. They have a big string and and other people I've seen, they sit down and they take, I don't know, a long time with each one there. I don't think Krishna complains because, you know, one person did it this way and one person did it the other way. So not only do you want the people you teach to be able to apply things according to their own style, but you want to alter your teaching according to the characteristics and circumstances of the people you're teaching. You're not going to teach the same skill to everybody in the same way. Individualize. Is this terribly efficient? Hello, hello, wake up! Is this efficient? No!
Long term.
Short term is not at all efficient. What's faster? Teaching everybody the same way or customizing? Teaching everybody the same way. It's much more efficient. Is it as effective? No. Okay, if I individualize, it's more effective. Why is it more effective?
Because they remember it.
Yes. Yes, they like it the way they like to do it. What are you more likely to do? Something you like or something you don't like? Something you like. Right? And something that's suited for you. If you think, oh, this just fits everybody, doesn't have anything to do with me, you're not as likely to do it. I'm never giving a class at 3 in the afternoon again. Ever here. It's going to happen anymore. All right, yeah, we were talking earlier with the group about motivating. And retribution means punishment. So there's some consequence. There's some reward, and there's relationship. So we have some relationship. It's not just, you know, I bark things at you. And there should be some benefits that you get out of it. And you should feel that there's going to be, we're talking about benefits, and there should be some difficulty if you don't do it. You should understand what these are. Right? There's something pushing behind us, something motivating from in front of us, and friendship. Now this also, person has to understand first the basics. Okay, if somebody's never cleaned before, there's some people who've never cleaned in their life. Really. Some people grow up with servants or their mother acts like a servant and they never clean. When we were running the school, I had some kids stay at my house. And I would do the laundry and the washing machine, but then everyone had to hang up their own clothes on the clothesline. And I had, you know, 11, 12-year-old boys who had no idea how to hang up clothes on a clothesline. They would take their corset and just kind of throw it on the line and then stick a clothespin into it. Like, I said, have you never hung up clothes before, you know? No, I never hung up clothes. So you may have to teach basic things. Maybe you have to teach how to wring out a rag before you can teach how to clean the floor. You know, you can't necessarily assume that you can just pop up to advanced skills. When people at the beginning, they need a lot of encouragement. Why? Why do people need more encouragement in the beginning? They're more insecure. What else? Increase their faith, yeah? What else? They're going to make a lot more mistakes. And people know they're going to make mistakes. Right? When you're first learning something, you're afraid. I'm going to look stupid when I make mistakes. You may not even want to try. This is extremely important. Is Krishna terribly concerned with the external results of what we do? What's his main concern? Our devotion. Is everybody going to be able to perform to the same level of competency? No, that's never going to happen. Well, can everyone here sing beautifully? We all know, you know, there's some people here who are really expert singers, some like me who are just kind of passable, I can keep a tune, and, you know, other people we really should not give the mic to. And then some people are expert artists, and some people can't draw a stick figure, and some people are in between. And some people are really, really expert cooks, and other people it's edible, and other people, you know, have them do something else out of the kitchen. Or give them a fire extinguisher in my hand. I mean, we all have different abilities. It's not that everybody's going to be able to cook equally well. It's not that everyone's going to be able to clean equally well. It's not that everyone's going to be able to, you know. So if we're only looking at that kind of result, then people are going to get discouraged, and that's not what spiritual life is all about anyway. So what we can look at is the amount of effort. Krishna's a lot more concerned with the amount of effort that we've done. You know, someone was talking to me this morning and saying, do I have to follow such and such rule? I'm doing this, is that good enough? And I said, well, doing that, is that really hard for you? Oh yeah, just doing this is really, really hard for me. I said, then Krishna's very pleased. You know, was it hard for you? Maybe easy for me. Was easy for me? Maybe hard. You know, it's not the same. It may take someone a tremendous amount of effort. You know, they may hate cleaning the toilets. They're just going to be all out cleaning the toilets. Maybe a huge surrender for some people. For some people, it's not a big deal. I don't care. You know, for someone else, like cleaning up the where their shoes are, you know, the dust from the shoes. And they may think, oh, this is terrible. I'm getting dusty. Another person, it's nothing. So we want to look at, you know, how much effort is involved. And how much a person has improved. You know, if the first time you clean the temple and there's big globs of dust everywhere, and the second time there's just a few little sticks, well, that's a huge improvement, even if it's still not perfectly clean. Then this is also important, because we are working in groups, right? How well are we cooperating among each other? All right, maybe there's still some dust left in the shoes, but were we chanting? Were we working together? Were we enthusiastic? Did someone do something extra? Did they practice extra? Did they say, oh, I'm really going to try to learn this song. I don't know the song for Tulsi worship. No one asked me to learn it, but I'm going to go, you know, just sit in the room and learn it. And then you find someone on your team practicing. You say, oh, very nice. You've gone beyond what was expected. And then, of course, if the performance itself is outstanding. Obviously, we want to recognize outstanding performance. But not that only. All right, now I'd like to do something with each other. This is the end here. And is there somebody that you could be equipping? And how could you use the steps with this person? So if you could all please share with one or two people next to you who you could be equipping and how you could do these steps in that service with some person. And then I'm going to ask a few of you for what you've decided. So take 3 minutes. Okay, how many of you came up with at least the basic plan? Come on, up so I can see you. Okay, good. So today is Tuesday, right? We've got 2.5 more days. So I will be asking you again, how many of you put your plan into action? Okay? And then for some feedback on how it went. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Do you come to these things to learn something or just sort of... Not really sure. Yes?
I
You involved in the next few days, you mean? It would be something different? So you made a plan for Janmashtami time instead of for now? Oh, okay. But have somebody you can give some feedback to then. So if you made some plan for something that doesn't involve these couple days of Pandavasena, then have somebody that you can give some feedback to. There's a lot of research that shows that we're far more likely to do something when there's some check on it, when we feel accountable to somebody. Otherwise, you know, we come, we hear this, and we say, yeah, that's good. Or else we say, well, I wish I was sleeping. I don't know if I wish I was sleeping. But if you really want to do this and just follow through on it, get somebody who you're going to say, okay, I'm going to do this for Janmashtami or something like that, and then I'll let you know at the end of August how did it go. Was I able to help somebody to be equipped in this area? All right? Is that okay? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you.